Welcome to the Go Buckets podcast, and this is episode 10. Finally, episode 10 came out eventually because, like, last week we didn't come through due to logistical problems. I do not want to dive into the details about what happened, but we are back again, you know. And then we also want to thank the people that keep listening to us, because we passed 250 listens, I think. Yeah, 250 listens for the past 9 episodes that we've been doing, you know, little steps and all of that. So we want to thank people, or me, I want to thank people. I don't know about the other guys on the panel, but me, I want to thank
people. Thank you, people.
Yeah, round of applause to the listeners, man. Round of applause.
But we don't have that soundboard again.
y'all are the real MVPs.
But, like, we're back again. And if you guys didn't notice, the basketball season is also back. This is actually goal buckets, goal meaning football, buckets meaning basketball. So we're going to speak about some basketball this week. But as still down the line, let's quickly touch, not even quickly, but let's start with Champions League football. First of all, let me get one thing out of the way. Champions League is boring this year, but it won't be boring next year when the Arsenal come through. But this year has been boring, but we have to talk about Champions League so far. So some of the matches that caught my attention, by the way, Seth, I didn't even introduce my co-host, Kiva. 2 weeks, man. How have you been for the past 2 weeks?
I'm good, man. I'm living.
You're living?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Hamza, how about you, man? How have you been?
Lagos traffic, that's all.
Yeah, man. You people are the real MVP, staying in traffic for 3 hours, man, just to get from point A to point B. But the failings of the Nigerian government is not what we talk about on this podcast. If you want to listen to podcasts about Nigerian government failings, yeah. they are 100 and above.
That would be nice, though.
will it be? But anyway, let's go straight to the Champions League. The first match I want to talk about is, I don't know whether you guys watched Barcelona versus Inter Milan. Messi didn't play, so people had, like, you know, second thoughts about Barcelona's strength against Inter Milan. You know, Inter Milan have Icardi and that, but Icardi was non-existent. His style of play of not being wanting to be part of the build-up and just finishing the game really killed Inter Milan. But I want us to talk specifically about Arthur. Arthur reminds me of Xavi Hernandez. What do you think, Hamza? Am I correct?
I think you have elements of both the legend with Xavi and Iniesta.
Mm?
So you limiting him to just Xavi is it's quite rude. But he has elements of both players. I don't know, it's like a hybrid.
So you're telling me he has the potential of being the combination of Xavi and Iniesta?
If any of such thing exists, but he does play like both of them. And he even has the grit of Seydou Keita or something like that. He has grit as well, which is quite weird.
Mm.
So, I don't know. Let's see. He's still 22 years of age. Let's see how far he goes in his career. I'm talking about Barcelona's performance yesterday night. Yeah, it was quite a pleasant surprise for me. Because, you know, we went ahead, Messi was injured. I was just like, nah, man, we're probably going to lose our next 5 games and then we'll be probably sacked already before Messi comes back. But then it was a pleasant surprise. It's good to see us controlling the game, not sitting on the... At no point in that game was I uncomfortable, which is quite unusual. Also doing our defensive lapses of the play, but then at no point in that game was I uncomfortable. So... It's good football, good advertisement. It shows that Real Madrid should be aware, basically.
Well, that El Clasico is probably going to be the worst El Clasico to watch. But anyway, let's not go to that yet. Let's speak about another surprise that came up in that Barcelona versus Inter Milan game. The fact that Ernesto Valverde decided to keep Malcolm and Ousmane Dembele on the bench and played Rafinha. Kiva, what do you think? Do you think that it is done for Malcolm and Ousmane Dembele at Club de Barcelona?
I actually don't know what was going through his mind with that with that decision, with that team selection. I felt like at some points in the game, Barca needed a bit of pace, which I thought Dembele could bring, because it was kind of slow from them. But then, you know, in the end, Barcelona were actually very good. Busquets was amazing, amazing to watch. As Coutinho had his moments, very, very good. I think Alba looked a bit lost because, you know, it seemed like Messi was not there. So Alba basically looked like he didn't know what to do without Messi there. But then he grew into the game.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
He showed us what he was in Valencia before he snaked them. And
but at first, like the first half, he struggled a bit, like, and you could feel like he didn't know what to do without Messi there. But then, you know, for me, before the game, initially, basically, Champions League-wise, I trust Barcelona at home. It was a Camp Nou game. I expected the win. Away from home could be a different story because I don't trust this Valverde's Barca so much away from home. But home game, I expected them definitely to get that win.
But
with or without Lionel Messi.
Do you think there's a
question, though? Do you guys know if they found Icardi when they got down from their bus when they landed in Milan? Do you know if they found him? Because I have it on strong authority that he's still in Longley's pockets.
Oh, please. Now you like Longley. Longley was not a loved footballer of Barcelona, but now you like him because he pocketed.
I have never complained about Longley.
He pocketed the La Masia graduate. Icardi is a La Masia graduate.
I don't recall ever complaining about Longley.
Okay. If you say so. Moving on from Barcelona, let's go to PSG. PSG luckily survived losing the game and being in a bad position. Well, you can't really call it a bad position because, like, it would mean them going to Europa League, which if they go to Europa League, they are definitely getting to the semi-finals.
Unai Emery.
Semi-finals at least. But I just have a real question to ask you guys. Under Unai Emery, there was no such problems about leaving the group stage. But it seems that under this Thomas progressive manager Tuchel, playing a 4-2-4 because he wants to put four strikers, they seem to be struggling against well-organized teams. Do you have PSG leaving that group, considering what you've seen so far? Whoa. That's no for you.
Nope.
Joshua, what do you have?
No.
You have a no too.
They'll progress.
Oh, you have a yes. Okay.
You know, you see,
are they progressing or are they not progressing from that group with Liverpool and Napoli?
Oh, they are not progressing. Oh, forget that thing. They're going to Europa League straight.
Whoa. You see, you don't know what you have till it's gone. You get me?
You
don't know what you have till it's gone.
PSG, relax now. PSG, it has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with Emery. It's just a PSG thing. PSG is like the weirdest team in football. Each year, they sign players for expensive fees, and each year they manage to be worse than the previous years. I don't know how that happens, but it's amazing to me because, like, I feel like their best years were under Ancelotti, and then since then it's just been like a flat, you know, like a stepwise decline. They'll be on the same level for a couple of years, drop a bit, another same level, drop a bit, same level. They've never actually impressed in the Champions League. That's how it is for them. Each year manages to be worse than the previous year. They won't get knocked out. They will get knocked out very easily here, and I'm sure that even in the Europa League, they'll probably underachieve as well. So I don't know, man. That team is
Is
amazing.
The problem for me with PSG is that they keep spending a lot of money on attacking talent, but no backbone.
They don't have midfielders in the team at all.
Well, we here at the Go Buckets podcast think that the PSG are not going to qualify to the round of 16 of the Champions League, which only means one thing. They are coming down to the Europa League
to take their trophy away from the Gunners.
They're not taking the trophy from the Unai Emery Europa League specialist. But let's not talk about Arsenal right now. Let's talk about Borussia Dortmund under their new manager, Lucien Favre. They ran a train on Atletico Madrid, squashed them, you know, match them. Two goals from Rafael Guerrero, I mean. One goal from Jadon Sancho. And I can't remember who scored the first goal. Oh, the first goal was Witzel. It was a deflection, Witzel. What do you guys think about probably the hottest team in Europe right now? 12 games, 10 wins. 12 games, 10 wins. Oh, wait. Second hottest team in Europe. Huh?
I knew you were going to.
That's why I was asking you. I was like, are you sure they're the hottest team? I thought you were going to say Arsenal.
Second hottest team. My bad. Oh, I don't know what Juve is doing in their league, but whatever.
Juve drew, I think.
I think they drew some games.
They drew the last game against a Vojvodina team. But I just know a certain man from Portugal scored one of their goals.
It doesn't matter to me. It's not in a
1-1 draw.
It's not in a team with 11 straight wins.
You don't even know the team they played against. But I don't blame you. I don't care either.
Who cares, man? As long as he scored, that's all that matters.
But what do you think about Borussia Dortmund? Are they underdogs for the Champions League? Can they upset the balance?
Nope.
Can they upset the balance in the Bundesliga?
Yes.
Yeah, they can.
Because Niko Kovac is not really handling those guys. Free Arsene Wenger, baby.
Except Bayern goes and calls back Job Huygens again. That's it.
How many times did they get that guy to come and save their season? It's just like Chelsea when they were always getting Ghost Hiddink back.
Well,
to come save
their season. At the moment, Bayern look like a lost team. Even the game against the team from Greece, Athens or something, they looked ordinary, flat. Just a 2-minute period where Athens switched off and then they scored 2 goals in that period. And everything was just flat and ordinary and basic from Bayern.
But do you
they
know,
need help.
But do you know who fast. Can? But do you know who can save them, though?
No, not that guy.
Arsène Lemosio Wenger, the man for
can
the
you
job.
Not that guy. Definitely not that guy.
Wenger couldn't even save himself from being sacked, man.
He didn't
behind
get sacked.
Closed doors.
He didn't get sacked. He resigned. He get.
Was Mourinho
sacked
the second stint at Chelsea?
Thank you.
Who's Mourinho?
Thank
who
you.
Who is for
that?
Was
Conte
sacked from Chelsea? Or
is that a secondary school goalkeeping coach or something?
Thank
who
God.
Who is Jose Mourinho?
Thank God even got even resigned.
Because that's like saying Wenger wasn't sacked, like saying Conte wasn't sacked because they put it on their website that it was a mutual termination or something like that.
This one's not a mutual termination.
Was sacked, man. You were sacked.
Wenger said, I'm leaving at the end of the season.
Jack
Wilson that's what
even
said.
Revealed you were sacked, man. You were sacked.
Young man, Arsene Wenger was sacked.
It doesn't matter to me anyway.
You're good enough, man.
Happy birthday, Arsene Wenger. Your birthday was like last week or so. We made it 10 wins in a row on your birthday. Today we made it 11 wins in a row also.
Boring.
Unai Emery is doing well without you, you know. But we still miss you, you get me? 11 wins is sweet though, but we still miss you somehow.
Why do we keep referring back to Arsenal?
I actually miss Arsene Wenger, like he should come back. I think he should come back though.
Anyway, I think which other team again should we talk about from the Champions League that is doing well? Oh, wait.
Atletico de Madrid.
Atletico de Madrid. Yes.
Atletico de Madrid.
Oh, my days. That was a corny joke, man. That was corny. Atletico de Madrid.
My bad.
But that guy, Diego Simeone.
Those guys are the worst. I don't know. They just look dead, useless, boring. Nothing, no spark, no excitement.
17 teams.
You know what?
17 teams in the La Liga look dead right now.
No, you're not getting my point.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the La Liga, they managed to just skill through.
Yeah,
skill through.
They're looking horrible right now. They're looking horrible. Because
they've lost some games in La Liga this year that you won't think they should. You won't even think they should be losing. And it's embarrassing because they have like, well, I won't say they have the best defense. I think they're for starters, Gordon is aging. I saw a couple of defensive lapses from him. So that's a problem they need to fix. Then there seems to be this conflict between Griezmann and Diego Costa that has gone under the radar also for like a couple, like last couple of weeks. It's been, I don't understand why, but like Costa wants to claim the team, Griezmann doesn't want that to happen, that kind of thing. That's also going on. I think they need Gabi back, something like that, if that's possible. Because Gabi was a calming influence in the midst of all the hotheads in that team. And now everyone is just doing what they want to.
That's good. Anyway,
let's talk about how a club that was actually deemed favorites for the Champions League, that's Juventus, struggled to beat Man United, to defecate on a useless Man United in their home. Juventus were, they were like hard to watch, like they were.
No, but Juve have always but been Juve, hard to watch.
Okay, but that's the thing about Juve. They just know their results business type of club. Yeah, they just dug out the result. They were satisfied with that one goal.
Yeah.
But I expected more from Juve.
That's why they always fall short. That's the problem. That's why they always fall short.
Yeah, true. I actually agree with you. I think that's why they could actually fall short again.
But then in the end, it's just, I don't know, it's just a philosophy issue. They just don't know how to scale over the line or something like that. I don't know. Because I feel like if they had, they had the players to create a fantastic attacking, well-oiled machine of a team, but then they just never seem to be able to do it. And that's my problem with Allegri. That's always been my problem with Allegri. That's why he bought those when he has opportunities to take teams to the cleaners. He just always falls short. Happened while in Milan. It happens every time at Juventus. But then, you know, he's winning. He's won the Serie A title. Okay, no, he's not won the Serie A title, but he's won the Serie A every season he's been there. So, good luck to him.
I actually agree. I think if that side faces a well-organized team or a better coach, they're definitely going to fall short, because with that philosophy, there's no way they can actually go on and win the trophy. I was actually surprised, because that squad and those group of players are supposed to tear apart the United side. I was shocked at what I was watching.
That just shows how fecal the Serie A is.
I actually wanted to say something. I didn't really watch the match. I think I slept through it because, you know, Juve, Man U, boring. So,
but second half, United actually outplayed Juventus. I was like, what is that?
Was it 4-0 or 5-0?
Wait, Hamzad.
And then it was points a team.
Wait, Hamzad. Like, not the Man United outplayed Juventus, not because Man United has better players or is a better team, but because they simply allowed United to just have the ball and play them. Like, it was just unbelievable to watch.
I saw one video of Lukaku using 4 touches to control the ball.
Oh my God, Lukaku is trash, man.
And then he pinged
the ball
crossfield
to a Juventus player. That was like, you know, that was his first touch. I think that was his first touch. That was his first touch in the game. I was like, okay.
So I was saying that there was a post by the Juventus Twitter account.
Yeah.
About Lukaku.
Seriously.
They said, who was that guy wearing number 9 for United, helping Chiellini and Bonucci clear every Man United attack?
Standard, man. That guy really controlled the ball like
bah. That was an official post on the Juve account.
These guys are disrespectful, man. That guy thought it was Scholes or Xabi Alonso for a minute, man. The way, if you see that the camera first even took him serious, the camera first took him serious with his control. Then he pinged the ball, like, he shot the ball like he saw somebody and he wants to see, pick them up.
I actually thought, like, the pass was actually going to get to a United player. Then I was like, then when I saw, like midway, like, halfway, I was like, or more. Where is this guy flinging this ball to? I was like, it's better he flinged it out for a throw-in. But he flinged it to the right back, to the Juventus right back. I was like, my God.
Man, I support the club when my strikers come on substitute and score, man. They score braces.
Man, he scored tap-ins, I beg.
My backup striker scored today, man. You get me? Not like this Lukaku fella, man. Do you know, there was one thing here. I realized something about Lukaku. There was one time I thought he was really fast. Then I was watching him against Chelsea. Yeah. He moves as if like he's really running. He moves like when he wants
to start. Like a tractor.
Yeah.
He moves like he's really running, but he's not moving. Yeah. That guy moves like he's really running. He's going. He always does like as if he does all the hand movements. Like, yeah, I'm gonna get the ball. Look at me, boop, 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 boop. Boy, so slow, man. That guy is so slow, dog. Anyway, I think that's all for the Champions League update, I think that should be all.
Did we talk about
we did. Once again, Liverpool beat some teams.
Spurs is trash and overrated. Spurs. Oh, something we know about Spurs already, right?
Yeah, standard, man. Those guys choke all the time. Hugo Lloris, what are you doing 50 yards from your penalty box? You keep doing this. You did this against Barcelona. You're a great shot stopper. Yeah?
I recall someone on this podcast insinuating that Spurs and Inter would knock Barcelona out in the group stage. I recall very vividly.
Who said that?
Who said this?
The very young Arsenal fan.
You think I'm going to support the Spurs to come out of that group?
What?
No, it couldn't have been me.
I recall someone. I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure at the moment, but I'm sure it was one of you. But let's move on.
Maybe it was banter. Maybe it was banter, man. But anyway, we're done with this segment. The next segment, guess who we're going to talk about? We're talking about 30 from 30, baby. Steph Curry, 51 points on John Wall, a.k.a. two-way point guard, defender, and striker. We'll see you on the next segment, man.